Well, good morning. I've been given a passage of scripture from James chapter 5. And many of the songs that we've already sung this morning, I feel like saying, let's sing them again and I'll sit down. Don't respond to that. But seriously, the theme and the thread that's been coming through, and even what Vicky read from Psalm 33 and verse 11, the plans of the Lord are established forever. You know, the issue is for us to align ourselves to find out what God's plan and what his words are for us. And that's obviously a challenge, but that's where we go this morning in this passage of scripture. Let's pray. Again, Lord, we just ask that you would bring insight and relevance, what is helpful and applicable in our lives. And that there might be a phrase, a thought, a scripture that we carry away this morning that sort of resonates, that we can hold on to. And we just know that you are at work in all the situations that we face as your people. So thank you for this time. Help us to have open hearts, a mind that can receive what you want to say to us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage of scripture highlights for us, and I'll read the passage in a moment or two, that we need as Christian people to have a different perspective. I suspect that many people in life live with a slow smoulder. It's like the person that cuts you off on the road. You go down to Woolworths and you've got to stand in the checkout queue and you wait and wait for some person who just has to fiddle and fuddle and carry on. And you go to the ATM and the thing's not working. You turn to your computer and your laptop and all the rest of it, and the Wi-Fi speed is just so slow on that particular day. It's like, does this have to happen? Yeah, really, seriously? And it's like it just smoulders away in our lives. And it sort of feels like, are things working against us all the time? Why can't things be a bit easier? And you know, really, that's the context of this passage of scripture in James chapter 5. Now, I understand about 2 weeks ago, somebody spoke from James 5, verses 1 to 6. And really, that is just a savage. I mean, James slams the farmers or the businessmen who don't pay wages. And it's like these people are suffering. And it's talking about an agrarian culture where people would be working all day, they'd work up a sweat, they'd get dirty, they'd go home, and at the end of the week, they don't get any pay. And James slams them and tells these business people, these farmers, they're going to cop it from the judgment of God. And then he turns to Christian people, using the analogy, the picture of the labourers in the field. And he turns and he has some words of instruction that we look at today from this passage. So let's read from chapter 5 and verse 7, and I'm using the RSV. Be patient then. Don't have any money in my pocket. The boss is not doing the right thing. He's a pain in the neck. He's making it difficult for my family. Be patient then. Until the Lord is coming. Oh my goodness. That means I've got to be patient until the Lord returns. Note that. That's the challenge of God for us to be patient at all times. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm. because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble about each other, against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. In other words, he's not far away. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed are those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes. Mean what you say, in other words. Let your no be no. Mean what you say, or you will be condemned. If the labourers here in this picture were realistic, if they were going to turn and start to grumble and carry on about the boss, James is saying they're no different to the boss. And so James gives the instructions of two things: be patient and stand firm. Some translations will use the word be patient and strengthen your heart. If we're taken advantage of, if things are not as would be right and proper, if something's unfair and it's painful and it's difficult and it's injustice, it's plain wrong, what's our attitude to be? If we suffer, if we struggle, if somebody's done the wrong thing, they've hurt us, human nature is that we strike back in some way. We'll even up the score. It's like that's how we want to get right. Just this week, Thursday I think it was, I was talking with a young man who was invited to a party by his mates. He's a really great guy. We meet probably every week or 2 weeks just to talk over and see how things are going for him. He's a new Christian and just attending our church nowadays. He's invited to this party, and on a Saturday night after cricket, he was ready to go. But they hadn't told him the location. So he rang his mate and he said, look, I'm ready to go, but where's the party? And somebody overheard, like was with his mate, grabbed the phone and said, why would we want you to come to this party? Got nothing to do with you. Don't bother coming. And clicked off, end of conversation. And this young bloke was really devastated. I mean, he doesn't have a wide circle of friends. He was really, really upset. And I just said, so what was your response to that? He said, I defriended them and I deleted them or blocked them on my phone. I said, so what's the outcome of that? What's going to happen as a result of that? And so we worked through how he might handle it, what he might do to help resolve or hopefully clarify the situation at best. But the reaction is, isn't it? Strike back. You hurt me, I'll hurt you. You do the wrong thing, well, I'm just not going to have anything to do with you. I don't want to go there. And so we cut off from situations like that. And James, as he writes and he's talking to Christian people, and he is saying, stand firm, be patient. And as I would look at it, it's like this whole passage is talking about, as Christian people, have a different perspective. Hello? Isn't that about what we are to be as God's people? To be different because we're godly and seeking to follow Christ? And so it's like James is saying, have a different outlook on things that are taking place. And with this young guy, one of the questions I asked him was, what do you think Jesus would want to do in that situation? And maybe it's a question we need to ask ourselves. Or what does the scripture say about how we should conduct ourselves? I mean, very clearly, the scripture says, go to a person, sit down and talk it out. And if that doesn't happen, then there are other steps to take place if resolution and reconciliation doesn't take place. Now, James gives three different illustrations in these few verses. He gives three illustrations of those who encounter tough situations and how we might respond. And the first is the farmer. Now, you're not going to make quick money if you're a farmer, are you? It doesn't happen. Not today, didn't happen then. Right? You sow the crop. And it talks here about the early rains. And you wait over a period of time, and then there's the latter rains. Now, in the Middle East, that would be March and April, and September, October, thereabouts, for the latter rain. And the early rain and the late rain was needed for a good crop. Only trouble was, they didn't have insurance like we do these days for farmers and their crops. They didn't have pesticides. So when the locusts came through, or when hail smashed, they lost it, full stop. And it's like James is saying, the farmers, they have to be patient for that whole growing period and hope that they're going to reap a crop in due time, right? They need to be patient. And it's like they had to wait patiently. And then James gives another illustration, another example, and he said, if you want an easy life, don't think about what it's like for the prophets. Don't become a prophet. Now, that's an interesting one. I could say a lot about that when people claim to be prophets today, but that's not what he's talking about. Think about Jeremiah for a moment. Jeremiah was a prophet. He speaks to the powers that be. What did he get? He got abuse. He got thrown into a well. He was imprisoned. People absolutely hated his. And then, to top it all off, eventually he was in exile to Egypt, where he was killed because he was a prophet. Not an easy life, right? Be patient. Did you notice the word that Vicky read from Psalm 33 earlier in this service? And verse 11, it says this, the Lord, the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. Now, we know as a result of Jeremiah's life and work as a prophet that there were things that took place that were significant, and God's plans were worked out in spite of the pain and the struggle and the difficulty. So there was a farmer, there was a prophet, and then James in these verses talks about a bloke called Job. Do you know, I was working with a new Christian, a person who had no background about the Bible. And one day we were talking about what he's been reading, and he says, do you know, there's a book about a job in the Bible. And I'm thinking, a job? Who's he talking about? What's he talking about? Job, right? So here's this bloke, Job. Now, I don't know anybody who will put their hand up to go through the stuff that Job went through. He lost his children. They all died. His livestock, they all died, his wealth and his health. I mean, his life was smashed. And he was left with a wife who says, go off and curse God and die. That's a help. They had a circle of mates that sat round, and as they sat round the fire, they said to him, mate, to have this sort of calamity and disaster in your life, you have sinned greatly. You're a bad dude. Now, isn't that encouraging? I mean, how good's that? But James says, Job persevered. He had patience and he had a focus in his life. And in Job 13 and verse 15, Job says, even if God were to slay me, I would still trust him. How's that? Even if God took my life, I would still trust him and praise him. Now, what does that mean? To become like a person like the farmer, like the prophet, and like Job, what does it mean? To have an eternal perspective beyond what's happening right here and now. So really what I believe God is saying to me and to you as we look at this passage, it's saying, hang on, when things are happening to us, whatever's going down, to ask the question, God, what are you doing? And I'm still going to trust you. That's the issue, right at the core of this. Be patient, verse 8 says, and stand firm, because the Lord is Lord's coming is near. So why be patient? What's the motive? Why do we endure pain, suffering, and all the stuff that's going wrong? James says, because the Lord is coming back. The judge, he is standing at the door. You see, James' focus here is all about God. Yeah, we do what we can about the stuff we're involved in, but the real question is, will we trust God? Now, I can't do that for you. We can't do it for one. We can support and encourage, but that's a decision that we make for ourselves. And sometimes I wonder if we maybe don't go to God because, you know what, God might not strike back at that person and give them what I'd like to give them, a smack in the face. Get even with them. Because God's merciful. Right? I wonder sometimes about that. But in these five verses, it talks about God and uses the name God five times. It's telling us this is a God thing, friends. It's to be, what does God want? How does God call us to be his people in the midst of this? And that's consistently the case throughout Scripture. You know, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, it makes it so clear. Whatever we do, what's that mean? Hello? Whatever we do, what's that mean? It does mean whatever. Whatever we do, I'll say it again, whatever we do, do it all to honour God. The way you drive the car, the way you scrub the floors, the way you talk to the friend, the way we act when somebody gets under our skin, whatever we do, do it all to honour the Lord. Philippians 1 and verse 27 says, live your lives in a manner, in a way that is worthy and befits the gospel of Christ. Do you live in a way that is consistent with God? The Lord's coming is near. That's how they were to live. Now, here's the thing. Every time in Scripture, every time in the surrounding verses when it mentions the Lord is going to return, the Lord's second coming, every time there is an incentive to holy, godly Christian living. It's not just the Lord is coming. It's not a big stick and not a fear thing. It's saying, God is coming. The Lord is coming. How good will that be? But live in a way that you won't be ashamed, says 1 John 2 and verse 28. Live in a way that when, if the Lord were to appear at this moment, what you're doing, what you're saying, what you're thinking, you've got a clear conscience before God. Now, I'd suspect that would make such a difference in our world. Not just for Christians, but for everybody if we did that. Take that thought for a moment. The Lord is coming to us. The Lord's coming is near. Live with an eternal perspective. So how does that work out? I want to give you two examples. It's all right. My wife just saw me look at the clock and I didn't check what time I started. Careful. I digress. Once when I was in a church, we had a special service for university students, and Christian guys invited their friends. And at the end of the service, one of the guys whom I mentored personally, I was really close to, young bloke, his friends said to him, "That was good, but gee, he was long-winded." And my mate said, "Oh, you don't know Ken. He's long, but he's never winded." All right, so be careful when you say. Good. How does this work out in practical sense, right? It's all right to talk about this is what the Bible... How does it work out? And I'm going to take the chance of sharing two things with you personally, of my personal experience. 58 years ago, I had been dating a young lady for 3.5 years, and we'd talked about marriage, and that was the direction we were going. Loved her and cared for her, and she was a lovely Christian young woman. One day she turned up and just said, "Ken, I don't love you, we're finished. End of story." And I've got to say, I was just blindsided. I don't know how I drove home that night, but I got home and I went and talked with Mum and Dad. And we prayed. And it was painful. That really, really hurt. About 2 weeks later, as I was reading the scriptures, I came to Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. And the scripture says, "I will never leave you, I will never abandon you, so that you might boldly and confidently say, 'The Lord is my helper. I won't fear what man or people will do to me.'" And even now as I say that to you, there was that sense of peace and reassurance that came. It made such a difference. See, what we're talking about is a perspective. In that case, as a young bloke, well, it was so painful. But God brought reassurance and comfort. Fast forward, I won't tell you how many years, but this October just gone, Alice and I went to Queensland and we spent 10 days with my daughter. It was a lovely time. Honestly, she pulled out all the stops. She was kind and thoughtful, and she did extra little things she didn't need to do. And seriously, it was just, even now, as Alice and I talk about it, our hearts are pleased. Like if we sing, you know, so we're really happy about that. That's just so good. On the last night, which was a Sunday night, Joe shared something about one of my sons that I did not know about. And all I can say to you was, I was smashed. I mean, totally, just, Alison went to sleep, and when I got to sleep, I put my head to the pillow and I just sobbed and sobbed, I cried and I cried. And I would pray and say, Lord, I don't know, this is just shattering me. I can only say I was smashed. I didn't get much sleep that night. I'd cry and I'd pray and I'd cry and I'd pray. We got up at 5 o'clock to catch the plane back here to Sydney. We got home at 4 o'clock. And just after getting to home, Alison said, I'm just going to check the letterbox. Went out and there was one piece of mail. And she said, it's for you. There's a card. Now, and it was from a guy who'd been in our home about 6 weeks earlier. He has an international ministry, you know, a very prominent guy. We'd talked about some of the difficulties with family and the sadness that we had. He didn't know what had taken place on the Sunday night, but there was a card from him. Written in the weeks while we're away. We get it on the day we get home. And in it, he says things like, there are very few people I take advice from. There are three men, and he named two, and he said, you're the third. And he went on to say, you have many sons that you do not know of, and we all appreciate you like I do. And it was like, here's this guy in the timing of God just sending this card. It didn't change the news of the night before, but it sure did soften it. And I had no idea that I had that sort of impact or influence with him. So what am I saying? Go to God in whatever we're facing. We face choices and we don't know what's going to happen. But when we're suffering, when we're wronged, when things are difficult or unfair, James is saying, Jesus is coming to you even now. Like that verse in Hebrews 13, I will never abandon you. I will never leave you. So that you can confidently say, I am the Lord is your helper. So I want to say this. Maybe it's the takeaway. When God seems to be doing nothing, he's still doing something. When God seems to be doing nothing, he's still doing something. You remember Joseph and with his old clothes? Remember Joseph tucked away there, the whole story in Genesis? Young man, his brothers didn't like him, sold him off into slavery. He goes down to Egypt. He's working away in his master's house. And the master's wife has designs on him. She tries to get him into bed. He said, no, I can't do it against God and I can't do it against my master. He gets out of the situation. But the wife says, hey, this guy, this is what he tried to do. Joseph gets thrown into prison. Now there are things that happen in prison, and eventually Joseph works his way, brought out of prison, and he's made number two in the whole land of Egypt. Pharaoh's right-hand man. Now look, that's in history, right? This is history we're talking about. It's not just in the Bible as a story. It's actual history that we can record, secular world. So here's Joseph, and suddenly there's a famine back home, and Dad says to his other brothers, the ones that sold him off, go down to Egypt, get some grain. And Joseph recognises these turkeys, these jerks, these brothers, so-called. Some things unfold. They come back with the news that Dad has died. And they stand before Joseph as guilty as all get out, and they think unto themselves, now he'll get even with us. Right? This is his big chance. What's Joseph say in Genesis 50 and verse 20? You turkeys, you intended it for evil. But God intended it for good. And that's what James is saying here, friends. Whatever's happening to us, God is still at work. Keep an eternal perspective. And whatever you walk through, whatever you experience in life, as you keep on trusting God, in the midst of the pain, like James reminded us this morning at communion, we walk in the steps of Jesus. And he's there with us as we honour him. Because Jesus sought to obey his Father, so need we too. So again I say to you, when it seems God's not at work, he's still at work. When it seems God seems to be doing nothing, he's still doing something. Walk, live, go in that certainty. Let's pray. Father, thank you that in life we are given the opportunity to honour you in the way we live, the way we react, the way that we know you are there and we can turn to you. That we as your people will have an eternal perspective, not only just about things now, but future. And know that the Lord is near and the Lord is coming for us. Lord, help us to grasp hold of this wonderful truth. We turn to you. We know that your plans are firm and established. Help us to walk, to live with you, knowing you there with us at all times. In Jesus' name I pray.